Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you into the weekend. 4 o'clock, their show goes until. And stay locked into ESPN 1320. At around 4 o'clock, you'll hear James and I talking with the great Luke Snyder of the Professional Bull Riders.
Oh, the PBR.
The PBR, coming to Golden One Center on January 31st.
Yeah.
It's your all weekend. Jan 31, Feb 1, and Feb 2.
Oh, that's coming up.
Get out and see the bull. We'll be out there Friday.
I know. We will be out there.
The Bulls are playing at Golden One Center, so you know James and I are going to be there.
That's right.
Can't wait to see what Kobe White is up to.
We should have a contest who can come up with the biggest belt buckle to wear. Are you down, Kyle?
Just wear a just pull up, hang out, and wear like a hubcap on your belt. I don't even know what to wear to bull riding. I don't have anything to wear that is going to make me fit in at bull riding.
No, we can wear flannels. We'll fit in with flannels.
Let's go flannel.
We'll go flannels.
I have a shirt that I bought at in DC that's got like George Washington's like signature on it, and then his like family insignia on the back.
Okay.
I feel like that's real PBR-ish.
Okay.
I just like George Washington, great American. I think that's a move. I think at these events, I think you can just roll in with like a 30 rack of Coors Light.
It's possible if you can wear the hat with the straws. The straws. I don't know though.
I'm fascinated. I'm so interested to see what this experience is going to be like.
I have no idea either. It's like, you know, when the boys were little, we took them to go see monster trucks. And that's crazy. I mean, like they literally just pull all the seats back in the lower bowl and add a bunch of dirt, mm-hmm. and then giant trucks fly in the air and roll over, and it's so loud that you walk out.
Yeah,
and
you have to wear like earplugs, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you wear, you still can't hear when you get out of there.
Oh, man.
It's bad. But but I've never seen PBR. I've never gone to bull riding of any sort.
Yeah, yeah, so we're gonna pull up to bull riding. Come catch us out there.
That's
Golden
right.
One Center. I'm just gonna go walk around asking people, hey, have you guys seen Io DeSunmu? Did Vucevic get traded? Where is he?
Where is Zach LaVine? We were promised an interview with Zach LaVine.
Came to see Zach LaVine score 30.
Patrick Williams, can you defend a bull?
Eight-second violation.
That's right.
It's an eight-second violation.
Eight-second violation. We know that rule. It's an eight-second. We've got an eight-second call here. No, it's look.
It'll be fun. We're going to have a good time with it.
Yeah, and if anyone is going to join us out there, hit us up. And
please hit us up. We need people to hang out with.
And then, you know, I'm just going to throw it out. Just go ahead and buy us beer, because at this point, if we got to be there.
Buddy, already know what time it is.
Just go ahead and buy us beers.
If they don't sell PBR at the PBR, I'm going to be upset.
See, I can wear my PBR hat.
Oh, that's what you need to wear.
Although I have not been able to find my Pabst Blue. Yeah, it's like MIA. That's why I haven't been wearing it.
Yo, figure it out.
Yeah. I guess I could still. Well, I kind of want to get like the biggest belt buckle possible and the largest cowboy hat ever seen. And
like
wear
the foam ones that you sell at A's games?
Yeah, but not a foam one, like a real one, but it's just like a giant size and just to be like.
Are we going to make a family trip to Boot Barn?
I have some boot. I don't have cowboy boots.
I think I own. It's a weird phase in my life. Don't worry about it. I think I own cowboy boots.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I did when I was super young.
I might have gotten rid of them because I don't. I was never going to wear them.
Okay.
So I might have gotten rid of them, but I'm not 100% sure I did.
If I did not
get rid of them, I'm 1,000% wearing them. I don't even own jeans. I need to buy jeans. I just recently got rid of all my jeans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm all joggers all the time.
You're jean free.
Yeah.
It's a jean free community.
Yeah.
I will definitely, I have jeans I can wear.
Not a lot, but. I'm gonna buy jeans. If I have my cowboy boots, I'm going to wear cowboy boots.
Okay.
And then I'll figure out what's going on up top.
All right.
God.
Yosemite Sam, if you've seen him, that's what I'm going to look like at at PBR.
NBA All-Star starters were announced yesterday. In the West, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic. No major surprises there. In the East, it's Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Those are just the starters, quote-unquote. Reserves will be announced on Thursday. Those are all selected by the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out about Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox next Thursday. And again, the whole starters thing doesn't necessarily mean anything anymore with how they're going to split the teams up. There's going to be four teams playing in a tournament.
Got it.
Three of the teams will be All-Stars. One of the teams will be an amalgamation of the Rising Stars teams.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll find out next Thursday about Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox and whether they were named to the Western Conference All-Star teams. Any thoughts on the 10 starters?
I think definitely with the West, I think the Kings might have got a little bit of help here because you got three legacy starters.
Yep.
Right? And yep. That's big because they're not going to get coaching nods. Right?
Right. Yep.
And then the other two players are first and second in MVP balloting, and they're surefire.
Yep.
You know, I think the one good thing here is that Luka Doncic is not on this list.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Luka will be an All-Star this season because he's only played 22 games.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing for the Kings. And, like, you don't want to get into an All-Star game because other players aren't playing. But at the same time, this is a weird popularity contest.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, sure, are there other players in the Western Conference that are going to get in without any question above, you know, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox? Yes, there are, but I don't think you could have picked a better starting five if you're hopeful for the Kings to get in.
Yeah, man. You said, like, Shai, MVP candidate. Steph was going to be a starter in the All-Star game or named a starter. It's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That was going to happen. Kevin Durant's having a good year. Like you said, legacy guy. LeBron James is going to be an All-Star. LeBron James, there have been... Let me make sure I have these numbers right. I tweeted them on the internet last night. And I want to make sure I have this right. LeBron James is playing in his 21st All-Star game.
That's wild.
LeBron James has been an All-Star in more seasons than all but five of the 4,981 NBA players ever have played.
Wow.
So he's been an All-Star 21 times. There have been five players, not including LeBron, who have played 21 or more seasons.
Okay. Boy, that would be a fun game. Can we come up with all?
I can't because I looked it up last night. Okay. Actually.
So Vince?
Yep. Vince played 22.
I want to say Robert Parrish.
That's one.
Oh, man.
Hang on. Let me get the article up that I looked at last night.
Dirk didn't make it to 20, did he? You said 21.
I believe Dirk did.
Okay, so there's three. Oh, man.
So you have Vince Carter.
Yep.
LeBron James.
Yep.
You have Dirk, and you have Robert Parrish.
Okay.
So that's four, and there are two more.
Two more. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't think I should. Oh, did Duncan play 20?
Duncan did not.
Okay.
Well, no, this is 21.
21. Okay.
20 was Kareem, Kobe, Jamal Crawford, and Udonis Haslam.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to get the final two.
Kevin Garnett.
Oh.
And Kevin Willis.
Kevin Willis played that many games.
Yeah.
That dude had some pointy elbows.
1,400 games for the 7-footer from Michigan State.
I forgot that Kevin Willis just kept playing.
He
was a beast. Plugging away. Beast in Atlanta. Absolutely spectacular.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, so I mean, I'm hopeful when you go and look at the guards in the West, it's not. I mean, it's
possible. Yeah.
Yeah, like Fred VanVleet's probably not getting in.
No.
Jalen Green might.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
The Rockets gonna have any? The Rockets have to have one.
If they do, it'll be Şengün, but I don't know if they're going to get it. I mean, despite their record, I don't think anyone is All-Star ready. Anybody is worthy of going being placed above some of the other players. So, yeah, in the Western Conference,
Devin Booker,
yeah, Anthony Edwards Kyrie? Is getting in. Anthony Edwards
Ant's
is getting
gonna
in
get in for
without
sure.
any question.
Yep.
Devin Booker is 10th in scoring. I'm going to guess that he's got a shot, but look at how low they are in the standings. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Durant's already there. You got Anthony Davis, who's going to, you know, be a candidate. You mm-hmm. got Victor Wembanyama, who will be in.
Mm-hmm.
But Fox is, you know, he's 12th in the league in scoring now. He's dropped over the last five games. But he's still really high in as far as like Western Conference scores. Like only Booker and Edwards and Durant and Jokic and Shea are above him.
Yeah, I'm interested. Well, the other one is does Jalen Williams from the Thunder make it? And if so, is he a front court or back court guy?
Oh, that's a good question.
That I genuinely have no idea.
Has he been, I mean, I know he's good. But has he been good enough that you're going to put him in All-Star category yet?
That I don't know, because I would love to know what coaches look at when they pick these things.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's averaging 21, 5, and almost 6.
And it might not even be coaches, because didn't we learn last year that a bunch of the coaches just hand it to some like locker room attendant and say, hey, fill this out?
Yeah, but I think with, I watched, the players still vote, too.
Like, no, not for reserves.
Oh, no, that's true.
The player vote goes into the starters.
Yeah.
I don't think...
That's a good question. So it is just random, and who makes the decision?
Coaches.
All coaches?
I believe so.
Okay, so it's a combined... It's not... Oh, okay, because I know the coach who is coaching the game, which is Mark Daigneault,
mm-hmm.
he, if there's an injury replacement, I believe it's either him or Adam Silver. That makes the
call.
I think
he does.
Yeah.
I think the head coach does. So I think all the coaches vote on All-Star reserves.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. Like, this is a pretty wide open field this year, and I'm not sure if Memphis have an All-Star? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, like, how many games has Ja played? Not enough.
No, Ja is, okay, so Jaren Jackson could make it.
Yeah.
Ja Morant's played 26 games.
Yeah, that's...
No,
and I don't know
tough.
What the cutoff is. Are coaches going to look at what... Are coaches or whoever's voting going to look at what the Kings have done lately and go, okay, well, they need one. And do they look and go, Sabonis averaging damn near a triple-double. He's leading the league in rebounding. He's shooting this percentage from three. Okay, he's in. Or do they go, well, De'Aaron Fox is top 10 in scoring, so here.
Yeah, it's tough to see them getting both.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
I genuinely have, and I think it's going to be, I don't know.
I have a tough time with Jaren Jackson being an All-Star. Like, looking at the numbers and everything else,
I am with you. You know where I land on Jaren Jackson, Jim.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. But if you're a coach and you're going, man, Memphis is number 3 in the West right now, and boy, Jaren Jackson is a guy that we game plan around.
Yeah. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I mean, it's possible.
They got to get one. They have to get one.
Maybe Anthony Davis does get in. I don't know.
Anthony Davis is getting in for sure.
Yep.
Like he'll just that. There are certain guys, and this is where I'm afraid about Luka. I think there's just certain guys who, if you hand whoever it is, whether it's a coach or an assistant coach or a locker room attendant, that just there's just guys they go Booker, AD, Who's the other? Luka, like those guys are just stamped, just writing them down.
I guess.
I don't know. The Kings got to get one this year.
Yeah, I would hope they would. I think that there's a good chance that they will get one. I don't think they'll get two.
Especially because it's right down the road, man.
Yeah. No, it'd be fun. Be fun to go and check it out.
Hopefully we get to go. I've never experienced an All-Star weekend before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've done it twice.
Okay.
It's a lot. I went New Orleans one year and I went to New York City one year. New York City year, it was
That's cool.
At one point it hit, well, exactly. It was negative 19 at one point.
Oh, it's literally, oh, it was like literally cold.
You couldn't walk from like one city block without having to duck in somewhere because I was like getting frostbite in my face.
Yeah, negative 19 is not where people are supposed to exist.
Oh, it was horrible. Not good at all. But New Orleans is always fun.
Did you hear, speaking of all-stars, Giannis Antetokounmpo starting for the East? Like I said, I'm interested to know what being tagged a starter means in this new format. If it means you automatically start for your team,
yeah,
or all the starters on one team. I have no idea. I don't know what the plan is. But did you see what Giannis said about the Bucks travel schedule? So because of snow in parts of the country that don't typically get snow.
Yes.
The Bucks had a messed up day of travel yesterday. They went from, stand by, let me get their schedule here. They went from, did they go, where did they, I don't.
They got stuck in New Orleans. Milwaukee did. But they flew into New Orleans early to beat the
storm.
That's
right. That's right. Yes.
And then they got stuck in New Orleans.
That's right.
And the game got canceled because it was unsafe.
Thank you. That's where I was. And then they had to play on a day they flew.
Mm.
So they had to like fly in to Milwaukee.
Okay.
To play their game last night against the Heat.
Yeah, and NBA rules don't typically allow that.
Right.
Like, there has to be a weird exception to it, and the NBA certainly didn't want to cancel a second game.
So, he got asked about the adversity, because they beat the hell out of the Heat last night.
Mm-hmm.
They got asked about the adversity of playing through those conditions. Here's what Giannis said. Throughout the day, I was just trying to stay locked in. And keep in mind, remember where Giannis comes from. He comes from Greece, where he did not have a lot. And he played his way into the NBA and has had massive success. This is not the toughest conditions that I've played basketball. The only difference is that we had to take a flight. At the end of the day, if you call this adversity, I think the team responded very well to this adversity that we had to take a flight for 2 hours before the game. At the end of the day, we still woke up in a 5-star hotel, had breakfast, sit down as a team, talked as a team while we were waiting for the bus. We had a pretty nice bus ride, and we went to our plane, charter plane, private plane. Everybody has their own seat. You can order some food on the plane, get some fruit if you want. They have drinks too. After that, your cars are warm right in front of the plane waiting for you. You get in your car and you get to the arena in like 15 minutes. And after that, you do your routine and you get ready for the game. For me, those conditions are not that bad. I've been in way, way worse conditions in my life. But if you want to call this adversity, I'm very happy and proud of how the team responded. Even though we did all that, we were locked in and came here to win.
That's spectacular.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Because, and I get like, he's 1,000% right. In the scope of the world, NBA players, regardless of the travel schedule, do not face adversity that lands on the scale of adversity that people face everywhere, every day.
No, but I would tell you, because I've covered the league for a long time, that there are so many players that had nothing growing up.
Right.
And where they are now, and the way that, like, some of them get abused because they don't know what money is. Like, I've said this a million, like, anyone can walk into a jewelry store with a bunch of money in their pocket and buy some diamond earrings, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of these guys, they don't know what a credit card is. Their parents never had a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to pay a bill.
And this is not just, I want to pause you real quick. This isn't exclusive to the NBA.
No.
There's a whole 30 for 30 documentary that came out 15 years ago now called Broke.
Oh, yeah.
About athletes who don't manage their money correctly.
No, of course. But it's really like Ben McLemore, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his brother, who RIP has passed away, his brother's passed away. They would walk around the neighborhood and mow people's lawns so they could get enough to go buy a cup of noodles at the store.
Man.
Because they had no food. And I think we can all, like, you can joke around about like as being high schoolers and eating like top ramen.
Yeah, yeah, right, sure.
Whatever. And not like not the college experience of eating top ramen.
Right.
But like, you know, you
the bring, survival experience of eating top ramen.
Yeah, but this is like next level where they had no food and right. they mowed lawns for 15 or 20 cents because that's what your neighborhood could afford
sure.
to give you. And like if you're mowing lawns, and we're not talking about like in 1987 or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ben McLemore's still only like 30 years old or 31 years.
Yeah.
I'm talking like 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And mm-hmm. this kid is like him and his brother would go and just trying to survive, you mm-hmm. know? And a lot of kids come from that and into the league and then have no idea, you know, how to say no or how to right. like avoid getting caught in traps with mm-hmm. all this stuff. And it's crazy to watch.
Yeah.
It's crazy to watch.
On that scale, what NBA players deal with travel is not adversity.
No, well, that's why a
and
lot
Giannis
of them are
is
like,
exactly right.
They look at you, they're like, what are you talking
yeah, yeah.
about?
What are you... But on the other hand, in the NBA scope, flying the day of your game and getting to the arena 2 hours before the game, that's tough.
Yeah.
That it would be, if the Bucks had lost to the Heat last night, it would have been super easy to be like, well, yeah, look at they've been stuck in on the road for a bunch of days. They haven't been able to play. They had to fly the day of their game. Like, yeah, it's a tough situation.
I just love
that Giannis is like, no, it's not.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think there's a difference between adversity and something like a scheduled loss.
Yeah, sure.
Like facing adversity, I don't think anyone, if you lose a game, it's not adversity in the NBA. If you lose 8 games in a row, that's adversity. You lose, mm-hmm. you know, 5-6 games in a row, you're borderline, you're getting into adversity. But having to fly the day of a game is not for these guys.
No. Shout out to Giannis.
Yeah.
Always having perspective. I love that's his niche in the NBA now. And he said, hey, you had a disappointing year. What are you talking about? Didn't have a disappointing. We made the playoffs.
Yeah.
How many teams made the playoffs? Like, well, you guys were like a championship contender. You lost in the first round to an 8 seed. It's not great.
No. No, but it's like
I love Giannis,
the way in which he approaches things is very unique, and I like it's almost he almost has like a naivety to him, and mm-hmm. so you're like it's good.
I don't know if there is a naivete. I think
okay.
he is naive about some things.
Yes,
but I also think it's just like maximum perspective all the time.
Yeah.
Basketball is this small thing in the scope of his life.
Mm-hmm. And that's good.
I'm a winner.
I agree.
He is a winner.
Is there a player with a higher Q rating in the NBA than Giannis?
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like he's just real. I don't know anybody who's like, eh, F him.
No, I don't think that there's, yeah. Like, I've told you, like, on the outside, a lot of people don't like Kyrie Irving. The players in the league adore that dude.
Loves him.
Loves him.
He is everybody I know who played basketball, like any kind of level.
Yep.
Like Kenny played in college. Even playing in college, love Kyrie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if Kenny comes in here right now, I don't know if he's in for the handoff today. If he is, I'll be like, hey, how do you feel about Kyrie? But he loves him. I'm going to feel really dumb if he doesn't like Kyrie.
The other guy who was universally loved like this is Tracy McGrady. Yeah, universally loved
to this
by
day.
Players. And
to this day.
Most players believe like that is their guy. I mean, you have your Kobe group, but there are a lot of guys who like are post young for Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tracy McGrady was there. Like Kevin Durant, Tracy McGrady was his guy.
There are people who it's like Kobe and T-Mac and the difference is rings and that's it.
Yeah.
And I just that's the other thing that we're talking about, just perspective, and we got a minute left here, so I'll just go on this tangent. One of the things that really made me come around on Kobe as a basketball player, like he was always great. I never denied that Kobe was great,
mm-hmm.
but I always kind of like looked at him like, man, he has to shoot a lot of shots to get some of these points, and I don't know if he kind of takes a bad shot sometimes, and I don't know, kind of like just overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you hear any NBA player talk about Kobe Bryant. And you go, hey, who's the toughest cover you ever had? It's like Kobe. Who's the guy you tried to emulate growing up? Kobe. And when it's NBA players telling me, like, all right, that's correct then. I have nothing to respond.
Yeah.
If you say Kobe was that dude, then he was. Numbers and stats and stuff be damned.
Oh, yeah.
Just goes out the window at that
point. I've had those, like, exact conversations with Doug about Kobe and just, like...
Doug is one of those guys for me.
Oh, yeah.
Just, yep, Kobe was that dude. Kenny just texted me. Kenny... I just got a text from Kenny. All caps, 3 exclamation points, I love Kyrie.
Yeah.
The Hooper's Hooper.
Yeah.
Kenny's a Hooper. All right. Speaking of Kenny, D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. James and I got to step aside for one more second. We're going to revisit our keys from last night. We'll take a look ahead to a big weekend of NFL football. We'll do that next here on The Insiders. It's brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, we're tying a lot of loose ends together. So Kenny Caraway is in for the handoff today. So we'll talk about the whole Kyrie conversation with him, which ties into something I want to talk about with both of you guys. About somebody asked Brent Rooker, A's designated hitter, slugger, who will friend of the program. Somebody asked him, like, hey, how do you sit breaking ball on an 0-2 count, but then turn on a 95-mile-an-hour inside fastball for a home run? And Brent Rooker is like, because we're major leaguers and we're very good. I did. So that's kind of the answer. And so I just want to talk about that as well. All of that circles back to the giveaways the A's are doing this year. Mm-hmm. One of the giveaways is a Brent Rooker bobblehead.
Yes.
That has a home run counter on it.
I'm here for it.
I love Brent Rooker.
Yep.
He is a really great player. Phenomenal dude. He's been on the show before. I'm sure he'll be on the show again. Can we wait till he gets to 100?
Yeah.
To throw a home run counter up.
That's a
tough
one. He has
79 career home runs.
I mean, I guess it depends. What does the home run counter go to? And is
probably 999.
Is it just for like this season though, where you're supposed to track?
No, because it's triple digits.
It's triple digits. Okay, and we don't think he'll hit 101 home runs this season.
I don't think so.
I don't think he'll hit 100 home runs this year. It's a smaller park, Kyle.
Sure.
Less foul ground. More at bats.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Can we get him past 200? Can we get him approaching 200 before we do the counter? But I don't know. Salute to the A's. Salute to Brent Rooker. Let's revisit our keys from last night's Kings game against the Nuggets. The Kings, of course, lost 132-123 in Denver. They came back from 25 down in the fourth quarter, cut it to 5. Whew.
I like it.
The Nuggets eventually put the game away. Your first key was let the bigs battle, and boy, did they.
Yeah, that was incredible. Like, that's what we're all there for, to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, you're looking at two of the most gifted big men in the NBA, and, you know, it's number one and probably number two or number three in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on where you're at with Joel Embiid and his injuries and where you might be with Anthony Davis. There's going to be a time where, of course, Victor Wembanyama is in that conversation as well. But for right now, this is the two best, like, productive big men in the NBA that play major minutes. And I thought it was an absolute joy to watch. Like, spectacular.
Yeah, they were. It was just their games are definitely a little different. But it was, what did Domas finish with? 26?
18 and 8? Yeah, something like that. Maybe I'm off. Maybe he didn't have 17. He had 23, 23, 19 and 8.
Yeah, 23, 19 and 8.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal. And then the other guy goes 35, 22, and 17.
That's just wild.
35 points on 19 shots.
35, 22, and 17. So what is that? Just
who says the big man is dead?
Kyle, just with his rebounds and points, that's a 57 points and rebounds. A 57.
He had 74 points, rebounds, and assists. And to just give you an idea, because that's on like Underdog, points, rebounds, and assists is one of the stats you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Domas, who puts up points, rebounds, and assists like the only other person who does it better than him in the NBA is Nikola Jokic and maybe Giannis. But Domas is right there. A big number for Domas is like 45 and a half. 45 and a half points, rebounds, assists is like, oh man, that's a lot. I think Giannis had the biggest number I've ever seen going up against the Kings. It was 50 and a half was his points, rebounds, and assists. Jokic had 74 last night.
That is so wild.
And it's not even like, holy crap, outlier performance. I think that's what gets to the core of when we were talking about Jokic earlier. That's what the core of it is for me. It's not, had he done this and it was like, oh my God, mind-blowing performance from Jokic. But he goes 35, 22, and 17, and it's just like, oh, yep, that's what he does. Whatever, bro.
So wild.
Yeah.
So wild.
My first key was to slow the game down.
No.
Kings decided to run with them.
Well, there was a point where the Kings just started outlet passing every single time trying to run down the court.
Yep.
And I don't know what they saw.
Maybe trying to gas Jokic or something?
They were trying to figure out a way to get back in the game and get energy. I thought that was one of the most interesting things to watch because like the pace of the game was slow. It was a grinder. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the Kings, every single one of them, grabbed the ball, fired down court.
A mm-hmm.
couple of mistakes, sure, but also a couple of wide open buckets because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it gave them life and really changed like the tempo. But I was also looking at it like, are they just trying to get them firing, like their legs firing?
Sure.
Is that what Doug is trying to like wake them up?
Yeah.
And maybe that's what it was. But I like at the end of the day, you got to try different things against a team like that. And I think the Kings did do a good job of like kind of trying to find different avenues to get back in the game.
Yeah. Grinding the pace was not what they wound up doing. A 108.4 pace for the game. That was moving. So they did not slow it down. Alas, they did not get a victory. Number two.
What is number two?
The Fox one.
Yeah, the team needs to have Fox snap out of his funk.
We might stop on this one. Go ahead. Keep going.
I think that there's protecting players, right? And their potential injuries. And then there's a point where, like, look, De'Aaron Fox is hurting. Like,
clearly.
He has not been the same player since the big fall he took.
Nope.
And he had a glute contusion, but I do know that that's gone into his back, and
can tell the way he's walking, man. It doesn't look normal.
Yeah, he's stiff. He's hurting. I'd also point out he got smacked on the hand a couple of times in that game, really, really hard by Jokic at one point. I think there are concerns not just about the pinky, but the other hand as well. Like we're going to find out.
His non-shooting hand?
Yeah, his non-shooting hand.
Oh my God.
Maybe we find out some more down the road. Maybe we don't, but the Kings have been pretty secretive about things like this when it comes to injuries. And I think some of the time you want to protect a player and you want to put it out there that, hey, like he's got a bad hand or a bad finger.
Right. Where teams are now like, oh, hey, we'll just kind of reach a little extra. We'll take a foul if it's going to, if it might sit him down.
Teams hit the hand just to take him out of a rhythm.
Yeah.
And so, look, whatever it is, he's clearly not himself right now, and it's tough. Mm-hmm. But, like, you got to hope that he fights through it. And if he needs a couple of days off, he needs a little bit of time, he might need some time.
He was 21.5, 4.5, 7.5. That's points, rebounds, assists in October. 29, 5, and 5 in November. 25, 5, and 7 in December. 21, 6, and 6 in January. He's shooting 28% from 3 and 40.1% from the field.
And look at his free throw numbers.
Free throw numbers, he's at 92.7.
Okay, but how many free throw attempts per game?
Oh, that I don't have in front of me.
Yeah, so I'm going to guarantee you that his free throw numbers have dipped. Just his overall attempts, he is not going to the basket like he was before.
Nope.
And it's
a lot of
15-foot pull-ups.
Yeah, a lot of 15-foot pull-ups, which we hadn't seen for a little while, but also a lot of floaters before he gets to the lane. And this isn't to say he's like gun-shy or anything. I think specifically he's hurting.
Yeah, what's interesting is you go back to last year, 31 points a night on 40, I'm going to round, on 49% from the field in October, 30 on 49% in November, 29 on 48% in December, January, 22.5 on 43%.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's back-to-back years. I think you're right. I would advocate, and Kenny Caraway is going to jump in here in just a second for the handoff. In fact, let's bring him in right now. Kenny Caraway, D'Lo and KC coming up here at noon. I want to get with you on the Kyrie Irving thing, but we're talking about De'Aaron Fox's struggles. They continued last night against the Nuggets, just 7 of 24 from the field, 3 of 10 from beyond the arc. He scored 17 points. You know, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, not totally ineffective, but we were moving towards him averaging 27, 28 a game last year, maybe pushing up to 30, and it seems like he's really been struggling lately. I would advocate for giving De'Aaron Fox a game or two off.
Well, yesterday would have been bad.
There we go.
Well, yesterday would have been the game.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm looking at this road trip, and I believe he is a little banged up. He's a little nicked up. At the very least, we know that pinky finger on the shooting hand is an issue. There could be other things going on as well. So he is nicked up. But, yeah, if he's wanting to play, you got to put him out there, and then you got to get selective with the games you sit him, which would have been last night if it was me. And now on this road trip, I think you got to find a way to go 3-3.
I agree.
You got two games that you could say you're favored in.
The Nets and Sixers are winnable for sure. Those are gettable.
Those are the two games, and you got to find another game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when he would sit. If I was him, and if I was Coach Christie, I don't know when he would sit.
Well, I think the one advantage to Fox is that, number one, he's kept the turnovers in check even when he's hurting, and even when the pinky's all messed up and everything else. So I think that's one good thing. So he's still your floor general. He's actually done, you talked about it, he's up to 6 assists per game in the month of January, and you know, a little bit higher than his season average, or right at his season average. But I think there are games where you can see him like leading. There's also all of the times where he does play excellent defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need him on that side of the ball as well. And you need his personality sort of moxie that he brings to the game.
Yeah.
Whether he can, like, I fully expect him to like lock in and at one point just become the player he has been throughout his career. But I think it's really interesting every January, almost, we go through this with him.
Yeah, I was going to say he has these moments every year, whether he's nicked up or not. The production just dips a little bit, almost like he kind of runs out of gas a little bit.
Yeah.
And has to recharge up, and he bounces back. It's like a 2, maybe 3-week period that this happens every year with him, and then he turns it back up.
I'd even say more than like he runs out of gas. I feel like there are times where the injuries accumulate. And you're fighting through one injury, you're fighting through a second injury. I mean, we all have seen the pinky issue that he has, and like the picture of his pinky completely bent sideways or bent forward. But like that's one injury. And when you just keep accumulating other injuries, it is really difficult to just go out there and battle every single game, knowing that like you could end up with another, you know, you got stuff in the back, stuff in the glute, you know, you've got... If that, yeah, not great.
Well,
flag on James. I think that we're watching a player who is beat up, and like you hope that his body fights through it, and then he gets a little break during the All-Star weekend. And I'm sure he's not going to want to go to All-Star weekend. I guarantee it.
No.
But if he's in, he's in. But he's not going to want to. And for me, he needs that break as much as any player right now.
Yeah.
Where do you like?
My bad.
I'm fully... No. You're good. No. You're fine. I advocated at the top of the show. Like, last night, 25 points going into the fourth. It's the second night of a back-to-back. Your dudes all played 38-plus minutes the night before. They're playing a ton of minutes this year. I'm giving Devin Carter some burn. I'm giving Kevin Huerter some burn to try and figure out whatever it is he's doing. I'm keeping Doug McDermott out there. Alex Len, go get some minutes. And I'm taking my 20-point L and calling it good. Where do you land on that? I don't know that it was worth it to have your starters run out there to go lose by 9 instead of 25.
I mean, I probably had the same thinking of, you know, it's just not the night, you know. Mm-hmm. On top of the fact that the Kings were a step slow, Denver was really good. Jokic was hitting his shots. Murray looked good. Christian Brown was looking good. So they were playing really well. On top of that, I probably, usually in those situations, because even in Milwaukee, I was like, if I'm Doug Christie, I'm gonna give you guys 3 minutes to see what you can do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you show me something in 3 minutes, then I'll keep you out there. If not, I'm going to fold the tent, wave the white flag. Last night, I don't even know if I would have done the 3 minutes like you had talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, and it's I heard you guys talking about it, you know, on the way in. And I understand these guys are human, and these NBA players and coaches, they say things for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But if they played 8 more minutes last night, it shouldn't affect them on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like it just shouldn't. And it shouldn't affect them the rest of the road trip as well. So, and to that point, if they would have not played 8 more minutes, I don't expect them to be even more charged up on Saturday. Like you're either going to be ready to play or you're not. A lot of the NBA season, a lot of the times it's just your mentals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you can mentally get through the fatigue that everybody goes through and continue to stay focused and do what you're supposed to do, those are the teams that are successful. So, I don't think it affected them one way or the other.
Yeah, I think for me, the value of going out there and fighting and making a standard of this, and then, you know, if you're down, say, 14 to the Knicks going to the fourth quarter, like, hey, man, we were down 20-something the other night, mm-hmm. and we made that up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've got that fight in us. We can figure that one out. So, by hook or by crook, well, however you got to get there, whether it's Doug McDermott coming in hitting 5 threes or it's, you know, Malik Monk had some strong moments in the fourth quarter after having a really sort of off night before that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're showing your group that, hey, look, this is who we are. We're not just going to phone it in. That's not who we are.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Right.
Yep.
It's all good.
I want to talk to you about Kyrie before we get out of here.
My guy.
You sent a text, an all caps text. I was like, I'm pretty sure, Kenny, if you hooped at any level, high school, college, you played in college, NBA players are all just adore Kyrie. Mm-hmm. I was like, I bet Kenny is a huge Kyrie guy. You text me in all caps, I love Kyrie. And then you said he is the best basketball player you've ever seen.
He's definitely, I said one of, but he might be the best basketball player I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody that can do what he can do with the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It is
absurd,
unreal.
Bro.
It is absolutely unreal. Skill-wise, talent-wise, I'm trying to be fair to the others because obviously we've seen Jordan, we've seen LeBron, and these guys, just because they can't handle like Kyrie or something doesn't mean they're not great. But just skill-wise, yeah, he might be the best player I've ever seen. I was watching yesterday, we were talking about how Matthew Dellavedova almost died in 2015, Game 3, trying to guard Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Like
the Curry stopper.
Yeah, Curry sent somebody to the hospital. That's how nasty Curry is.
Yeah.
Send somebody to the hospital. So on the in-screen iPad, I pulled just the little YouTube highlights of that game just to see what it looked like. And then they had Game 3 the following year highlights queued up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of, as we're doing the show, looking, you know, going back and forth. And Kyrie in that game alone, oh, my God. God, the things he was doing out there, it's just ridiculous. It really is ridiculous.
My respect for Kyrie just as a player, like, because I watch him, and you know Kyrie's good. Like, he's the number one pick. It's not like Kyrie stinks.
Mm.
But game 6 and 7 of that 2016 finals, like, we know the LeBron block, and Kyrie hit the biggest shot in that series. But Klay Thompson was playing unbelievable defense on him, and it just didn't matter. Mid-range, in the paint.
Now go to game 5.
Putting 2 on him in the paint. Just didn't matter. He was getting a shot up, which by itself was insane, and then it was going in.
Mm-hmm.
And he at least at the time, was the best shot maker in the league for me.
Pound for pound, maybe the most talented basketball player I've ever seen.
And hit the biggest shot in NBA history.
Yeah. Like, see, he, I used to think this way, I still do, about Jason Williams, White Chocolate.
Yeah.
Like the things he would do on the court, like sometimes I think it gets lost on people that he's in the NBA doing this. Like it's one thing if you're at 24 Hour Fitness doing this. He's in the NBA going behind the back, elbow passes, like faking these guys. Like it's crazy.
In the NBA.
Yeah. That's the way I feel about Kyrie. Like the things he does, bro, he's in the NBA doing this. It's ridiculous.
I watched Jason Williams in the Fan Fest before his rookie season and was like, oh my goodness. Mm. Like they found something so weird and wonderful and crazy. Yeah. Like you saw it, like the second he walked on it, you're like, holy cow, what is that?
Yeah.
And it, like a one of one. And I think Kyrie in a lot of, he is a one of one, both on and off the court. Mm. But also, you know, injuries and everything else have kind of held him back a little bit.
I'm not perfect. I wanted Larry Hughes.
Boy. Warriors legend Larry Hughes.
Larry Hughes could go too, but he wasn't.
Jason Tatum's godfather, so Larry Hughes.
Oh, nice.
King's
so much, stand up. So much of like sports analysis and sports fandom and so many takes just come down to not understanding how much better pros are than the average person.
Yeah.
It's pick a random NBA player. Steve Kerr, who's got a messed up back, could go to 24 Hour Fitness right now and be the best player there.
Oh, he'd drop 50 on everybody.
But he wouldn't drop 50 on me. I would work Steve Kerr. I would work Steve Kerr. And I'm out of shape. And I'm, you know, I'm old now. I'm plus 40. I work Steve Kerr. They know. Steve Kerr got to be 60. Ain't no 60-year-old man doing that to me. Not the same height as me.
59. He's 59.
Oh man.
Yeah, he's got back problems. He might not be able to play defense.
Your point is well taken.
But I mean, in a team,
he's 6'3".
In a team situation,
he's not a giant.
In a team situation, Steve Kerr would. He's a bad example because he's got the back stuff. But like old NBA players, you can find a 45-year-old NBA player who's just going to go in right now and just go get every rebound, make every pass, make any shot he wants.
I know we're
just so much better than
we're running up against it.
We got to go right now.
Okay, Henry Turner went crazy in a pickup game.
Yeah, that
went
was literally what
crazy.
I was, that was the person that I had in my head, but I didn't want to bring him up because he's
I'm talking about
we're
the
all about the purple I'm
talking
black
about,
pregame.
I'm talking
show
about
here.
The basketball player, not the announcer.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. Friday shows are always great. Should be a ton of fun. Stay tapped into ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. James and I are back Monday at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water. Be nice, people. Have a safe weekend, everybody. Bye.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on The Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.